Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you for, in effect, a refuge of just coming out of the noisy and clanging world and just being able to be quiet and sense your presence, Lord, and having the glorious opportunity of looking to your eternal truth. And so, Lord, help us to glean what you have for us this morning. Once again, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Psalm 117 is all about praising him, all about praising him, praising him. So let's just begin with this old song written in 1680, I think it was. 1680, 100 years before this nation was even, well, 1680 was after Plymouth Rock, that was 1620. But it's 350 years ago. So it's a well-seasoned but wonderful song. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brother and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. So Joachim Neander was 30 years old when he wrote that song, and then he died. And tuberculosis, so he was only 30, and the Lord took him. But this song became very, very, very popular for early on. And he was a German, and so the whole area over there in that part of Europe grabbed a hold of this song. And so I just wanted to sing it today. It's very familiar to us, but it's about the subject of this psalm, and that's praise to the Lord. So let us sing it together. You're still standing, if you don't mind. This psalm is so short. We'll just do it reading responsively. Well, I'm going to read a phrase, and then would you repeat it after me? So the first phrase is, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles.
Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles.
Laud him, all you peoples.
Laud him, all you peoples.
For his merciful kindness is great toward us.
For his merciful kindness
And the truth of the Lord endures forever.
And the truth of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Have a seat. You know, we're in the center of the Bible right now, and we are blessed today with the shortest psalm, two verses, and then 118 is a little longer, and then one in Psalm 119 is 176 verses. So if you want to memorize a whole chapter of the Bible, this is a good psalm. In Hebrew, it's only 13 words. In English here, it's 30, about the same length as John 3:16. But it's very amazing because what is it's been said, comparing the shortest with the longest psalm, 117 with 119, that you can say it in two verses. And then at times you just want to say it a little more with 176 verses. Isn't that great? But the truths here are so awesome. Now, the context, I think, is important when this psalm was written, because it was written back in the days when the Jews were so assured that they were the only people that could be saved. And really, in the Old Testament, there is not a lot to be said about the Gentiles. We have initially in Genesis 12, where the covenant is being preliminarily laid out to Abraham, that through you all the families will be blessed. So it's not a New Testament concept, but it really gives us cause for Gentiles to praise the Lord, because when Christ came on the scene, what did he say? He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And he said, preach the gospel to the whole world. So it's for everybody. And so everybody should be praising the Lord. So that's what this psalm says. And when you think it was written at a time when you would never expect the Gentiles to even know anything about God, because they're nothing but dogs, and they could not possibly praise the Lord because they don't know anything about him. And it was a foreign thought, I think, to the Jew, that unless you were proselytized into the Jewish belief, that you had anything ahead of you but to be fueling the fire of hell. That's why God created you to fuel the fire of hell. But here we read these beautiful words, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That word is goy there. It could be translated nations. You could say, praise the Lord, all you nations, and it would be correct. And then the next word, laud, in many of your translations will be praise again, because that's what it means. But I like the difference in words here, because it does point out a slight difference in the word praise. The first praise is hallel. And Hallel is given 165 times in the Bible. That's the common praise the Lord. But the second praise, or laud, really, is Shabbach. And that means to extol in a loud tone. And that was one that was used by King David when he brought the ark in from Edom's house into Jerusalem in a very triumphal way. So it is praising, but it might be a little bit more intense, a little bit more exuberant, possibly. But anyway, that word is slightly different. But then again, you can just say, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, praise him, all you peoples, or you can say, laud him, all you peoples, as is used in the New King James. Peoples is oma. It means everybody, 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 everybody. And that's 100 out of 100, or a billion out of a billion, or whatever it is. So praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. Now, what is the reason? There's a big word there, for. For, basically kind of two things, or one thing, but it's stretched out a little bit here. For his merciful kindness. Merciful kindness, the chesed. Mercy joined with kindness here. The merciful kindness is gabar, great. That means huge. That means almost without limit. Gabar, huge. For His merciful kindness is great away from us or kind of alongside of us. No, it's what? Toward us. Think of that. His merciful kindness is focused on you. Just think of that. And think of how tragic it is for, if you don't know the Lord, what that means. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you, but it does mean that you're not under his focus because you have not accepted him, right? So you get a certain amount of blessings just for being created. But if you really want to get the blessings, if you really want to get the full sunshine, take away the umbrella or take away the tent over your head and you'll get a greater blast of the sun. And it seems to me that's kind of the same thing here. But it is great toward us. Toward us. And then this unbelievable statement here. And the truth of the Lord endures for a while. Is that what it says? Endures forever. The truth of the Lord endures forever. Wow. You want to be part of that or you want to be away from that? That's the choice that each of us makes when we receive or when we resist the Lord. We're either with him, we either have him or we don't. You can't be half born again. You're either born or you're not born. You're either with him or you're against him. And so much of the world, I think, is, well, I don't have anything against Jesus. You know, he was a good teacher, I guess. I don't know much about him, but I don't have anything against him, so I'm fine. No, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me, right? So when I look at this nation, for example, we are totally against him. That doesn't mean the church in this nation is against him, but as a nation, I showed on the second page there that photo once again in black and white. It doesn't show very well, but it's in front of an American embassy showing the U.S. flag, and underneath it is the gay flag. Now, when our nation is advertising that we are a Sodom and Gomorrah nation, and that's equivalent, it's as high up on the totem pole as we can get, that's where we are, isn't it? And what did the Lord do with Sodom and Gomorrah and the wickedness of the days of Noah? What did he do? Judgment came, and judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. We know that, and it's sure. But this psalm is saying that, I mean, don't worry, church, about what's coming. Praise the Lord for being his and his merciful kindness focused toward us and his truth enduring forever. So can you keep that good news inside yourself? Is it able to be quiet about this as you go through life today? Maybe he won't give us another day. Maybe this is our last day. Got anybody you want to get a hold of today and say, just want you to know how much God loves you, how much he has loved me and what he's done in my life. And he just tell him a little bit about what he's done for you. That's a testimony that nobody else has. And it's so important because people need to hear that. Well, I don't want to bother them. They're too busy. Too busy doing what? What is a person today too busy of not to hear the gospel? Oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time. I don't have time to read this psalm. I'm really busy. Well, that's a flimsy excuse when it takes 18 seconds. You know? But I don't mean to read it. Oh, I read it 18 seconds. I didn't get anything out of it. No, you can spend 18 hours on it too, which would be better. But that's the psalm. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. There's five in Spurgeon's expounding on this psalm a little bit in his Treasury of David. Somebody came up with five principal points of doctrine here in this psalm. First, the calling of the Gentiles. And of course, we have that specifically repeated in Romans 15:11, which reads, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. Romans 15:11. And then the summary of the gospel, of course, we can read in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we have it so much better than the Old Testament saints. Yes, they believed. Abraham's faith was accounted to him for righteousness, but they never saw it. They never saw it. And even the right early New Testament, before Christ, even after he came here and was on earth, that had never happened before, never happened again. In a way, it will happen, but not that way. But then he had not been put to death yet. And then even for 3 days after he was put to death, there was no resurrection yet, right? And then there was a resurrection. Hallelujah! As he said there would be. And then 50 days later, there was the Holy Spirit poured out on every believer from that point on. So we are the recipients of all of that, which never had happened before. And now we have 2,000 years of church history that we can look back on and see his faithfulness, which the early church never had. So we have been blessed, and we are seeing so many things coming together now, which start to paint the picture for what's ahead, and that is God's judgment coming on the earth again, and sin to be put away and evil to be taken out. The third thing, so the end of so great a blessing, namely the worship of God in spirit and in truth, as we know that the kingdom of the Messiah is spiritually. So we are brought to mind that we are three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. And it's the spirit part that touches God. The flesh by itself cannot really touch God. And the flesh by itself drowns out the spirit to the point where it can barely hear. Here's a little bit, or you would have never been saved in the first place. But once you are born again, then the spirit becomes uppermost, does it not? Fourth one, the employment of the subject of the great king is to praise and glorify God. And then the privilege of us, the privilege of these servants, Jews also to the Gentiles who know and serve God, the Savior, eternal life and blessedness are brought assured in this life and prepared in heaven. So here we are, the recipients of all of this. So how much are we praising the Lord? How many minutes a day you're praising the Lord versus how many minutes a day you're following the news of the world? It probably is a very little praise versus, I mean, you can turn on the news and you can spend an hour and not get anything but bad news, right? Or you can spend some time praising the Lord and it's all good, right? But we get caught up. I just checked the news this morning and then I got off on a couple of different tangents and didn't have much time, so I didn't spend much time. But I was thinking, what did I even do that for? You know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, if someday at, 4 or 5 in the morning or 3 in the morning, some big world thing happens and you don't even know about it. I mean, when we have the opportunity to at least check, but all we see is the disastrous stuff. And we can just go any which direction we want to go with what may be the top 15 or newsworthy items for the day. And they're pretty grim, aren't they? I mean, there's just so little redeeming thing in any of it. And you think, well, the world is really, 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 really bad. And then we think, is it that bad? No. There's that much evil out there. There is evil out there, no question about it. But think about how much good there is out there in the believing body of Christ that nothing is said about it. So what are you doing with the Lord? Are you praising him and are you thanking him and are you grateful to him for what he has done for us forever? His truth endures forever. Well, Father, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord. We don't know really even how to praise you. But you know our hearts, Lord. May it be that heart of just such gratefulness and such thankfulness and such commitment to you, to tell others about you, to show others about you with our lives, and to pray for them, Lord. And so we want to pray this morning. You've given us this time and this place to pray. And we know the fervent prayers of a believer availeth much, Lord, and we don't understand really how that works, but we don't need to understand it. We just need to do it. And so, Lord, it's not knowing how to pray. It's just knowing pray. So guide us now by your Spirit that we would be absolutely in one accord with what your will is for us in these prayers. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, it's time for you to act. For men have regarded your law as void, mindful of Jeremiah crying out, there are multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And as you said in your last book of Revelation, John fell down to worship the angel. See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And Father, as we read those words, we realize how final that last breath is for each individual. And there is no second chance. And Lord, as I would see people today and tomorrow, if you give me tomorrow, whatever, may I remember the importance of sharing with them. The importance for all eternity. And Lord, forgive us for spending too much time on praying that you would come quickly. We know that means you're going to come very fast when you come. But Lord, once you come, we can no longer pray for the future of others. We no longer have that opportunity. And so, Lord, we long for that day. But on the other hand, may we not waste an hour or a minute, really, because the number of minutes left or the number of hours left for us here on the face of this earth are probably much less than most of us could possibly imagine. We are to watch, work, and be ready. So help us with that, Lord. Help us. I thank you for this precious group that would faithfully come and gather together each Saturday morning for just an hour, but yet what an hour, Lord, you're always so faithfully blessing us. So, Lord, may we be instruments of that blessing, and may we just be filled with praise, praise, praise to you, Lord. Dear love, your love, your love, your love. And so, Lord, we want to just close today with singing this old song which Pastor Chuck loved and we love, The Love of God. Thank you. Let's just pull in a little bit. Those who are on the floor, stay, and Yolanda, stay. Gracie, could you come in? Let's just grab each other's hands and close here. Okay, we're gathered. Father, we thank you. Here we are, just a few people, but yet you can use each of us in ways that we couldn't even imagine. May our hearts be open to you. May we be filled with praise and thanksgiving for you. And may we be the vessels you would have us to be today, Lord. Guide and protect each one here, that we would bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.